tuning in to another episode of Java with Josh. I'm your host, legislator Josh Lafazan. Today we have a really exciting show with recording artist Jordan Michelle joining us. As we say every week, having big dreams is common, but figuring out how to achieve those dreams is rare. On this show, we interview some truly incredible people to share their journeys to success and give you the tools to reach your dreams. So grab your cup of Java and let's go. Jordan Michelle, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh my God, thanks for having me. I'm so excited. I feel like I'm going to run this interview because I feel like if anyone tunes out right now, they just need to know that Josh was my intern. That's where we need to begin.
She's breaking the introduction, putting me on blast literally 30 seconds in. So I'll always be the intern. But for our viewers getting to meet Jordan for the first time, Jordan Michelle is a recording artist from Great Neck, New York, and is now based in Los Angeles, California, where she is working on her debut album under an affiliate of the Universal Music Group. In 2014, she was named as Miss Long Island and continues to model in magazines from Maxim Australia to Luxia and for over her 100,000 Instagram followers. I met Jordan, when she was she is a celebrity, but when she was a real, teen celebrity and celebrity on Long Island, when she won Miss Long Island, I was recently just at a high school, and I was just amazed at how approachable you were, how knowledgeable you were, how compassionate you were. Like, you really were an amazing person, and you are an amazing person. So I want to say, first of all, thank you for your years of friendship, because you make me a better person just by knowing you. And I appreciate all that you do to serve as inspiration for me, as a sounding board for me, et cetera. But your career really took off. You know, you went from just like my friend to now like you're one of the most famous people I have in my phone. So I really want to ask you, what was the journey like, and how did you get to where you are now?
Oh man. Well, first of all, I'm crying. There's someone's cutting onions in here or something. wow. That's like the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. I always tell you though, you need to just follow me around because you're like the best hype person ever. But man, where do I start? When we met, I was Miss Long Island, which feels like a whole past life. That's so crazy that like that even came up. Like sometimes I forget, it feels like so long ago. And that was sort of, I was at Hofstra at the time. I was a journalism major and double majoring in political science. And I did New York Teen USA, and that was sort of how I started modeling. I never had any intention of pursuing a career in entertainment. Beyond maybe, I worked at News 12 for a little bit, so maybe like working in broadcast media, but I never thought I was gonna like try to be a pop star or anything like that. But you know, modeling gigs started rolling in, and I got really into pageantry, and opportunities came from that. But what was cool about pageantry is it really got me into philanthropy. It's very philanthropy driven. So when 3 weeks after winning Miss Long Island, my brother passed away due to a heroin overdose. And that's also part of what you and I had worked on together. We were on the heroin prevention task force in Nassau County. But it really just opened my eyes to this whole world out there of addiction and mental health and depression, which I grappled with myself too. So I don't know, going from like news personality, pageant girl, smile all the time, even when you're talking about murder, to like being this raw, vulnerable artist has been like a real journey. And I couldn't have even predicted that things were going to go the way that they did. But I really don't even know where to begin. It's like, I just sort of moved to LA as soon as I graduated from Hofstra. I was like, life is too short to do what I think I'm supposed to do, not what I really want to be doing. Like, you know, I had to ask myself that question after losing my brother. I'm like, all right, who am I going to law school for? Who am I pretending that I don't want to be an artist for? Like, is it because of money? Like, am I going to live my short time on this earth not living for myself? Who am I living for? You know, like my aunt and uncle. So like my parents can tell people that I'm doing XYZ. And at one point you just have to be like, what's true to me? What do I want to be doing? And so I was like, if I never take this leap now, I'm never going to. So I got my degree, and I moved to LA having not a clue what to do or how to do it. And I just sort of like, I showed up everywhere, you know, I was never home. Whether it was like to social functions, events, castings that I shouldn't have even been at, had no business going to. It was just like, I'm going to go knock on every door. I'm going to meet every person. And that worked out really well for me because, you know, I was at lunch and I got introduced to Randy Jackson and we just like had a great conversation. And he was like, yo, I got to work with you. I'm like, dude, you haven't even heard me sing, you know? And it's just like, you know, like doors kind of like kept opening and then one would close and I'd be redirected. And, you know, the person who got me in the position that I am now, which is kind of difficult for me to talk about, but next time I'm on the podcast, I'll be able to tell more contractually. But we met in the elevator in the building I was living at the time, like around, so this time, maybe like 2 or 3 years ago. And it's just like I said, just knocking on every door, taking every opportunity and just being a yes person and just being open to whatever comes and not getting bogged down and giving up when it gets hard, because it's always hard. And yeah.
Well, there's so much to unpack here. And really what I want to start is, so you literally, like in the movies, like you just moved out to LA. what was it like to take that risk? What were your parents saying? What were your friends saying? What were you saying? Because that's an unbelievable risk. And we see it in the movies. And I guess people don't realize it actually happens in real life.
Yeah. You know, I think I just didn't give myself time to think about it. And actually, I was dating someone in New York at the time for 3 years. Like, so I was in a very committed, serious relationship. A friend of mine who you might know, Michelle Wrightson, she's an artist. She was on The Voice, and she had a roommate that was moving out. We had been friends since we were like 6 years old. And she was just like, would you ever actually consider moving to LA? Because like, my roommate's moving out. And I was like, oh, well. And I had this luxury of my dad's an airline pilot and I could maybe bounce back and forth and try it out. So that's sort of how I pitched it to my mom. I was like, well, I'll do it like part-time, you know? And she honestly, I think, was just so scared that I was like gonna get married too young or something. And so she was just sort of like, it's not a bad idea. You know, you finished college, it's fine. Like, try it, whatever. And my dad to this day is just like, you know, he's a dad. He's proud of me. He's excited about it. But, you know, he's just, I feel like I can like win a Grammy and he'll still be like, I mean, you've met my dad. He'll just be like, you know what? You want to be a pop star? Like, like, Dad, I am a pop star. Truly, it was like one of those things that I just sort of like packed up my car, shipped it. I was like, hey, Mom, can you fly with me there? And like bought some IKEA furniture and like just was like, all right, I live here now. And like with the palm trees and everything, I just felt like I was on vacation for a little while. And I mean, fast forward 5 or 6 years and
you're still there,
but kind of feels that way.
you believed in yourself. And to me, like you believed in yourself, you know, and listen, you know, I believed in you, people believed in you, but you believed in yourself in the face of detractors. Like where does that sense of confidence come from to believe in yourself and to bet on yourself?
You know what? You just have to. And like, I actually just wrote a song about this. It's going to be on the album, but it's, I had this moment of realization because, you know, I mentioned before my brother passed away, like I've had my fair share of adversity in my life. And, of course, like we rely on the love and support of the people around us. And when it comes to like, can I do this? Like you've accomplished such amazing things in such a short period of time. And it's like, yeah, of course you needed the people around you to hype you up and tell you can. But at the end of the day, the hardest things you've ever gone through or done, like you were the badass that got you through that. Like nobody did it for you. No amount of someone telling you you can is going to convince you that you can. That all has to come from inside. And like, it's hard. It is. And like some days it's way harder than others. And you know, it just comes down to if you want something and you know you're capable of it, yeah, that's like very, I like really want to try to explain to people how to do this, but it's just one of those things, like it takes practice, you know, it doesn't come easy and it's not linear, but at the end of the day, like, you're the person who's going to have your back every single day, not your parents, not your friends. I mean, hopefully they do, but like, it has to come from you at the end of the day.
So I just wrote that down. You know, you're the person that has to bet on you. You know, because I think that's really profound in terms of, you know, you can rely on others for strength and support, but at the end of the day, it's really just you. And so what's been cool is to see you in this, like, you know, in Los Angeles to really make it. You know, because when I tell people, you know, how's you know Jordan Michelle doing, I say, well, she's made it. Like, it's gratifying for me to say that because I saw the journey. Can you talk about like what it's like to make it in LA and what the industry is like out there? Because again, for so many of us who will never get to Los Angeles, we see it like based on the television. And you know, is it like Entourage? Is it like the movies? Like what is it like, and what's it been like for you to make it?
So this is really funny. And like the quick sidebar on that is that based on what we just said about believing in yourself, I'm like cracking up at you being like, oh, you made it. I'm like, made what? Like, you know, I've come a long way and I'm super proud of that. But like, do I feel like I'm there? Of course not. You know, like we're never satisfied. We're crazy. And I know you get that, but it's funny that you bring up that show because in high school, I hated high school and I just wanted to get out. And The Hills was on when I was in high school. And that was like my favorite show. And I used to watch it and just like pine and be like, one day that's going to be my life. And I moved here and one of the guys on the show was my club promoter that I was like going out with, like that group, and like going to the same venues and like doing the same things. And then one day I was on the PCH, the Pacific Coast Highway, in my Mercedes convertible, which Lauren Conrad had one on the show. And I was like, oh my God, I totally manifested this. So yeah, I mean, it's super similar. So, like the shows are obviously based on a true story, ish. You know, LA is a different place than the rest of the world. and it, you know, you hear a lot of things about like, oh, people here are so fake and then that. I think that, you know, part of it is like you get screwed over a lot professionally and personally. And at least I'll speak for myself. I sure have. It has not been a smooth sailing situation. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, you live and you learn, and you sort of learn to like weed out the BS, and you know, experience is the best teacher. So.
Well, I think it's really profound to hear you speak about your experience and growing, and yes, I feel like you've made it because, you know, when I see, wow, she's got 100,000 followers on Instagram, and wow, she's, you know, recording a debut album. Do you ever stop to pinch yourself? Like, did you ever think, I knew you had confidence in yourself. Did you ever think it would be this real? Like, does it feel real?
No. Oh my God. Like, of course, that's like, that was the goal the whole time, right? I mean, I didn't come out here to like, of course I came to try it, but I was like, I'm not leaving until I do it. You know, I don't care how old I am. I mean, I started late. I started after college. Most people start when they're like teenagers. But it's funny, like specifically before quarantine, like things were moving pretty quickly for me. And like, it started to get really real. And like, just the interest I had from the labels and like all this other stuff, it was crazy. And I remember talking to my A&R and I was just like, is this for real? And he was like, you are going to have a lot of those moments over the next 3 years. Like, just letting you know, like, that's just part of it. And yeah, like I'll be in the studio with certain people, like in certain circles, in certain situations. I've been in the studio where I'm just like holding Grammys and I'm just like, not that they're mine, but I'm just like, what the fuck? I'm sorry. Like, what? You know, it's just, yeah, all the time. And for the record, you got verified on Instagram before me. You are definitely the famous one here.
I did. I absolutely did. And thank you. You know, even, you know, 30 seconds into the podcast, you reminded our audience that, you know, I was your intern. So thank you for letting me redeem myself here a little bit.
I have to tell you that, so LA really is the land of gas, though. It's like the LA spin. It's like, you were an extra on Entourage, let's say, and then you go tell everyone that you had a recurring role on Entourage. And I feel like you gave me the green light. Like, it was as if the producers of Entourage were like, you can tell, I'll give you the IMDb credit. Like, you can have it. It's like, so for the record, Josh was never my intern, but he was like, I'm going to tell everyone I was Michelle's intern. And I was like,
100%.
I was like, wait, that is like the best clout ever. Like, you're just going to give me that? I was like, I'm going to tell I'm going to get that tattooed. Like, that's going to be the name of my album.
This is called selfless act of generosity here.
It really was. Wow. Well,
because all of us back home, we're so unbelievably proud of you. Cause you know, we feel like you're one of ours who went out and really made it. So that's kind of, you know, how we feel. And so I want to know too, you know, can you talk, you know, as much as you can about your debut album and about making the album? Cause for so many of us, again, viewing the lens of the music industry, you know, we have an Apple Music or a Spotify app that we use and we have our favorite artists, but you know, I've never recorded myself singing. I don't think anyone want to hear that, but you're actually going into the booth and creating.
I would,
an album.
Actually.
Wow, that we'll connect offline. You know, what is that like? You know, what's your debut album been like?
Oh man, well, it's been years at this point in the making, and like for me, you know, I never got into this to like write catchy pop songs that are just gonna like be a flash in the pan and like, you know, make people dance for a minute. And like, you know, like my goal was never fame, it was impact. So music saved my life many times, and I'm sure you can relate to that. I think most people can relate to that. Like, I don't know a single person who's like, nah, I hate music. Like, it moves people, it speaks to people. And with everything I've been through, you know, from my real pain, my depression, but also like just the idea that this was never an option for me and here I am doing it. You know, like a lot of artists, for example, like will be the messenger, like to speak to their audience, like while they're in that painful place. And that's where mine started. I was in a really dark place, and you know, it was like a lot of just like sad songs and painful songs. And now I feel like it's more about being on the other side. Like I want to pull my audience out of the fire, you know, like it's all about overcoming adversity. So the biggest challenge for me was actually like being able to pick that scab every time, you know, being able to like get that emotion across and like relate to that message every single time, whether I'm writing the song or recording it or performing it. So yeah, I mean, like, it's just been like an evolution. And I feel like the songs that we wrote from like, and I say we, I work with like a team of producers and, you know, a couple of different writers from December to like March, we're like, these are the records, these are the ones. And then, you know, it sort of moves forward from there. So it's sort of like what they say about relationships. Like when you know, you know. It's like we wrote these songs and we're just like, this is it.
Well, that's really wonderful. And I can't wait to hear it. But, you know, I do want to shift gears here, because what makes you so special as an artist is not just your talent, which is undeniable, but it's the fact that you use your platform for good and to speak about what's so important. And again, you know, we met, you know, serving on the Heroin Prevention Task Force together. You know, obviously you've been very outspoken about using your platform to raise awareness for those suffering with mental illness and depression following the loss of your older brother. Can you talk about sharing this mission with your following and what it's like to use such a large platform for change?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that works in my favor is that I've never been scared of an audience. So, you know, it at times is a lot of pressure, especially like, I mean, look at the times we're living in right now. You know, it's so turbulent. There's not two sides to any story anymore. You know, like everything you say is either going to offend someone or hurt someone or, you know, sit wrong or not resonate. And, you know, obviously like not everyone's going to love you. Not everyone's going to agree with you. But I do have a social responsibility and I take that really seriously. You know, I obviously like have my opinions in politics or whatever. Like, I'm a human. We all do. We have to. But at the end of the day, like, if I'm not helping people, if I'm not using my platform responsibly, and that's like a tricky thing, because it's like, you know, well, what does that mean? For me, it's like, if I can pull one person out of the dark, if I can speak to the people that were where I was and get them to see the light, like, that to me is what it's about, you know? And I think it's important, and I don't take it lightly.
Well, it's remarkable, because there's so many dimensions to you. And so somebody who's been as lucky as me to know you, like, there's so many dimensions to you, but again, you know, there's public facing Jordan Michelle and there's private Jordan Michelle, but, the consistent themes of like just compassion and humanity and openness and honesty, like, you really, what you see is what you get with you, which is why I feel I'm at liberty to ask you this question.
Yeah, go for it.
Where are we going to see you in 10 years?
Oh man. Well, you know, that's the hardest question ever, because I'm someone who definitely lives with intention and I have goals and dreams and whatever. But when I tell you, I could not have guessed the trajectory of the last 10 years. I could not have even come close. So as much as I'm someone who's like really driven, really intentional, I go after what I want and make things happen, I also really go with the flow. You know, it's like, I've never been like, oh, I need to live in LA. I need to live in New York. I need to live in Croatia. Like, I'm sort of so open to whatever life brings. And also understanding, like, I was knocked on my ass quite a few times and I did not see it coming and I couldn't have planned for it. And like, even with this pandemic, none of us saw it coming. None of us thought, like, we all had plans this year, you know? So, you know, I hope to have made a number of albums by that point. You know, like, I want to say, like, this is such a general thing to say, but like, impacted social change in some positive way. 10 years is such a long time. Sorry, can't answer it.
No, that's too much. A very, very, very political answer, but I will tell you, there is no doubt that what you set your mind to, you can achieve. And for those of us who have been privileged to follow your career from the very beginning, and for those of us who are listening, who are just meeting you for the first time, we have no doubt that there is just an upward trajectory on your career, because quite frankly, we know here at Java with Josh that good things happen to good people. So we have no doubt that things are on the way up for you. I do want to ask you this question, and we ask every guest this question.
Okay.
What would be the biggest piece of advice that you would give to your younger self? Because you've grown so much professionally and personally, and you give so much advice to young people, present company included. but if you can go back and talk to your younger self, you know, what would be the biggest piece of advice you'd give?
Okay. Can I give two?
You absolutely can.
Okay. So one was given to me. It was my grandma's advice. She's a Holocaust survivor. She'd be 105, so she's no longer with us, but she always said optimism in the face of adversity will always lead to the greatest outcome. And that's like probably the most important piece of advice I've ever gotten, and especially coming from someone who's been through what she's been through. This next one comes from me, and it's truly not to worry so much. And like, when you're okay with not being okay, that's when you'll be okay. And I'll unpack that real quick.
Please do.
You know, if there's one thing that my entire life, I always had just so much worry about where I'm going and how I'm going to do it. And it always works out. It always works out in the end. And you know, like, life used to just feel a lot heavier for me. And I used to always just walk around like, oh, like, life is so hard and blah, blah. And it's like, the truth of the matter is, it is always going to fling shit at us. Like, that is inevitable. That is the one thing about life that is inevitable. There's always going to be problems. There's always going to be something. And it's like, sometimes you have a bad day. And when you can just be like, I don't feel so good today, whatever, meh. But that's cool. I'm fine with that. I'll be good tomorrow. I'll be good in a few hours. There's so much power in that. So that's I think, really the big one.
Well, it's remarkable because, again, you can be so open, you know, with people about the fact that you're not having a good day, and it's okay. And you know, even Jordan Michelle, you know, celebrity out in Hollywood can have a bad day. But I think the fact that you focus on mental health, I think is really remarkable. I will tell you that, you know, you continue to be a role model for so many in terms of betting on yourself, in terms of being self-made. Again, not having someone, you know, named mom or dad who can pave the path for you and paving the path for yourself. But you also set a role model in terms of when you make it or when you achieve success, it's obligatory to, you know, when you climb the rungs of the ladder, to reach back down and pull the next person up. And I think that's really wonderful for you because you've mentored, whether it's in Miss Long Island, you continue to mentor a lot of folks.
I really appreciate that. That means a lot.
No, it's really special. Wow. So my only ask is you continue to lead by example in terms of being a righteous you know, person with integrity, that you don't forget the little people who were there as your interns or who were there for you along the way. And we wish you the best of luck in your future, and we couldn't be proud of you. So thank you so much for being
thank
a guest
you
on
so
Java
much.
With Josh.
Thank you so much. I had the best time. It's always great speaking to you.
We'll see you soon, whether it's here or at the Grammys. We'll see you soon.
Amazing. Talk soon.
Thank you. Thanks so much for tuning in. And thank you to Jordan Michelle for an amazing conversation. Next week, we have New York State Assemblywoman Taylor Darling joining us. Make sure to click subscribe to our podcast and check us out on Instagram and Facebook for videos and bonus features. I'd also love to hear your questions and comments. Feel free to shoot me an email at josh@joshlafazan.com. I'm legislator Josh Lafazan, and thanks for joining us for Java with Josh.